live at 11,000 feet. I'm not sure I could do that anymore. But that would be a little stretch. Did you look at my sermon title for today? Idiopathic rich people. The lung disease I have starts with the word idiopathic. And when they told me that, I thought, I really don't have to ask what that means. It's from the same root word as idiot. It means they don't know what causes it. And one of the possibilities, this is a story about a rich man who was damned, and God calls him a fool. And I thought about naming this Damned Fools, but was afraid that wouldn't be best. So we're going to call them Idiopathic Fools. Idiopathic rich people. The text that I want to read is from part of our responsive reading, Luke 12, 20 and 21 from the Amplified. And God said to him, "You fool, this very night the messengers of God will demand your soul of you, and all the things that you have that are prepared for you, whose will they be? So it is with the one who continues to lay up and hoard possessions for himself and is not rich in his relationship to God. This is how he fares." So the admonition from Jesus here in talking to these people, he's been asked to arbitrate a will. Somebody from the crowd, again, big crowd, somebody says, "Hey, would you make my brother share his inheritance with me?" And Jesus said, "I'm not a judge over that." But then he goes into this talk and story about rich people. And this is the central theme of Luke to a large extent. Jesus teaching that we ought to be focused on heaven rather than just focused on earth. He continues to say that different ways. So when this question comes, he uses this as an opportunity to continue to talk about that. He warns against just being concerned about the wealthy. He tells the story this man had a big harvest. He was already rich and had plenty. And he has a conversation with himself. And he says, "What do we do with this bumper crop? Well, let's build bigger barns. And this is enough that I can spend the rest of my life just eating, drinking, and being merry." And that's when the Lord intervenes. The big harvest could be a wonderful thing. When your cup gets full, you might not should get a bigger cup. You might should be a blessing and let the overflow from that bless other people. And he didn't see it that way. There are several warnings in Luke's gospel about the rich, and all of them are negative except for Lazarus. Lazarus climbed a tree to see Jesus. Jesus said he'd go eat with him. He came down and they criticized Jesus for going to the house of a tax collector. And he said, "I'll give everything back that I've stolen." That's quite an admission. And he would divide the rest of his money and be a blessing to others. And Jesus said, "Salvation has come to your house today." The rest of the story is there was the rich young ruler who went away sad. Even in Mary's Magnificat, there was a warning to the rich. In the Beatitudes, it says, "Woe to the rich." And at one point with the rich young ruler, Jesus says, "It's hard for the rich to be saved." And the disciples said, "Well, Lord, who can be saved?" And he says, "Well, with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible." So even there, God's grace is coming to us. And he saves us on his action. So this brings us to the question about the inheritance. He's saying, don't be concerned about things on earth and how rich you'll be. And then he tells this story. He ends that by saying, put your treasure in heaven. For this is a verse that's very important. verse 33, 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, we usually preach that. I've heard preachers say, we can look at your checkbook and tell where your heart is. And it probably means that, but it also means, for where your treasure is, there will your heart follow. See, I think some of y'all are concerned about missionaries because you give to missionaries. So we got your heart when you started giving to help missionaries. Where your treasure is, your heart will follow. The things that you give money for, you pay attention to. And Jesus even talks in this passage about the lilies of the field, the birds of the air. God looks after them. Will he not all the more look after you? It's really easy, I think, to get focused on earth and earth only, and to not feel like God is as concerned here as he is about the heavenly things. So he tells us, set your affection on things above. And the theme of Luke is especially that. We are way too earthly minded. We see this is our life. As with our friends from Peru here today, they saw something bigger than life on earth. They saw something that moved them to abandon some of what they could have on earth and have treasures in heaven. So set your affection on things above as they have. It's your verse. This ends with, it's your Father's good pleasure to give the kingdom to his little flock. And so you have to see yourself as citizens of another country, soldiers in an army, and we're taking territory back from the enemy. And this was not the retirement. This was the battlefield. And you're to move some of your heart there. You're to lay up your treasures over there. It doesn't mean you don't live here, but money by itself is neutral. It's not good or bad. Somebody wants to read money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say that. It says the love of money is the root of all evil, and people get absorbed there, and they just get focused on that. We exchange money for what we value, and that's why in Africa, when they take an offering, it's a part of the worship service. They put a big basket down front and they all come marching in with loud music and put their offering in, because I think they see more clearly than we do. And I'm not suggesting we're going to do that next week, but they see more clearly than we do that what you give your money for is what you worship, what you value. The word worship is from an old English word, worship. And it's a clear indication that what we exchange for one thing is what we think something else worth. And so money is spent for what we value. We give money for Bibles, we value that. We buy pornography, we value that, obviously. In Matthew 13:22, Jesus talks about the deceitfulness of riches. That it's deceitful. In the spirit of Donald Trump, we could say, oh, lying riches. They tell you the wrong story. They tell you that this is the life and you need to spend your money here. In that place in Matthew, he's talking about the parable of the sower. And the seed that is sown among the weeds and the briars is people who are concerned about earth and life, and money says this could be the most important thing. And so money lies to you. Money tells you that that's what you need to be happy here, yet it's more blessed to give than to receive. Paul says in 1 Timothy, writing to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:18-19, be rich in good works. Just have good works. There's riches there. If money says if you lose me, you lose everything. I'm your life. And the Bible clearly does not say that. And so Paul says, be rich in good works, ready to share. Take hold of that which is truly life. And there's a way in which what you give away is what life really amounts to. In verse 15 that we read today, he said to them, guard yourselves and keep free from all covetousness, the immoderate desire for wealth, the greedy longing to have more. For a man's life does not consist in, nor is it derived from possessions, overflowing abundance, or that which is over and above his needs. I think that's where we are. We want more. We live in a rich country. We have more than most people in the world. I couldn't remember the statistic and look it up, but it was amazing how many people live on the earth live on less than $2 a day. And we just can't think in those terms. But what is our real life? And what I wanted to say to you today is your real life is the good works you do in Jesus Christ, the treasures that you lay up over there. John 17:3, Jesus said in his last talk to the disciples, this is eternal life, that they may know you, Lord, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. So if you want to have a true life, know Jesus, know the Lord himself. It's not possessions, but it's knowing God. So the key to not being an idiot, idiopathic, a fool, is to believe in the resurrection, to believe that there's life after death. 1 Corinthians 15:32, if the dead are not raised, then let us eat and drink, and tomorrow we'll die. It's going back to that eat, drink, and be merry from the rich man here. And so the fool lays up treasure for himself. The wise person gets a life by putting his treasure in heaven. What does it mean to be rich toward God? And I struggle with that a little bit. It's the opposite of laying up treasure on earth. I know that. If you want to be rich toward God, don't focus on earth completely. It's the opposite of thinking that life on earth is everything. It's not. It's a vapor that appears. This is not the real life. And we've got to focus higher. Rich toward God means worshiping God. Giving worth to God means loving your neighbor as yourself. Loving God. Money and earth can deceive you into thinking that this is everything that is. And you need to build bigger barns. You need to eat, drink, and be merry. So the issue is not a big harvest. It's not prosperity. True life is loving God and loving others. It's living for him in a way that says we've set our affections on things above, not on things of the earth. I think it's real normal for us to just look around us and say, this is life. And it's not. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And you've been blessed to be a blessing. God gives to us so we can give to others. So what should have happened in this story, he should have thanked God for the abundant harvest and said, now what can I do with this? That would be a blessing to other people. How could I help others? I've got more than I need. And certainly providing for your own family is important. But providing for others, serving others with your possessions is certainly God's will as well. I just wanted to move your hearts a little more to look up today, to set your affections there. The things we spend money for here, if it's important, do it. And God, he doesn't want you to be walking instead of driving a car. But he wants you to have your affections in heaven, where you're looking after the kingdom of God. You're working toward the fulfillment of the Great Commission. And so appropriate that we have folks here today who understand that so clearly. Lift up your sights a little bit. Look a little higher. It's not earth that is the true life. Our true life is in knowing Jesus. And we have an opportunity to do that. We're going to give you an opportunity to take communion this morning. But just a few moments in prayer to prepare your hearts for that. And ask the Lord to lift your sight above the things of earth that burden us and weigh us down. Let us see our true home in heaven. Let's pray.